Welcome to The Flatline with your host, Rick Hughes. For the next 30 minutes, you'll be inspired, motivated, educated, but never manipulated. Now, your host, Rick Hughes.
Good morning and welcome to The Flatline. I'm your host, Rick Hughes. And for the next 30 minutes, I'd like to invite you to stay tuned because it could be the most important 30 minutes of your entire life. This show, called The Flatline, is always about motivation and inspiration and indeed some education, and it's always done with no manipulation. It means we don't try to manipulate you in any way at all. All we're seeking to do is give you clear, lucid information. This show doesn't offer speculation. It offers accurate information. Concepts, biblical principles that will help you verify and identify God's plan for your life, so you're free to orient and adjust to the plan if you'd like to do so. So thank you for listening. Thank you for staying tuned. And if you would you please tell someone about it so they would come and join you and listen to our radio show? It's my prayer that you would pray for me, that God would give me insight and wisdom to know what I should talk about and what I should bring to you, and that God would open more doors for us to speak on other radio stations along the way. So The Flatline, heard every Sunday here on this radio station. This Flatline show is for you, and today we're going to continue a little bit of what we did last week. Last week we did a show about how far has America fallen. And in the end of the show, I mentioned Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. And in verse 6, I gave the recipe for disaster in a client nation. The recipe for disaster in a client nation, and America is indeed a client nation. We are the representative of God during this time. Make no mistake about it, because we, in fact, have evangelized the world while we've been that client nation. We have been the nation that has done this. We have been the nation that has carried the Word of God. We've protected the Jew. We've evangelized the world. We've taught the Word of God. So, I mean, this is what it's all about. We have protected our children by teaching them the Word of God, so that they think divine viewpoints, so that they think clearly. And today, the recipe for disaster is to change the thinking of our young people. I gave some information on the last show about how radical communism thought to subvert the thinking of America, and I gave out Lenin's 6 points that he gave on how to defeat America. I talked about our new enemy today, which is radical Islam, and I said that don't you ever for a minute think that the socialistic, communistic style of government and their thought of world domination, they haven't gone away. They've just gone underground. So now we have two enemies that we're confronted. We're confronting socialism and the desire to change the way that we live from within, and we're confronting from without radical Islam and their desire to convert you or kill you, one of the two. It doesn't make any difference to them. As you can see, they don't mind killing women and children, boys and girls, old men, old women. It doesn't make any difference to them. They enjoy killing. And that's why they use all these suicide bombers and all this stuff to induce fear into the American population. So when God says in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, I want you to understand that the first primary line of defense in any client nation, the first primary line of defense is what does the Word of God say? And that's why there's such an attack on the Bible today. That's why there's such an attack on anyone who believes the Bible today, on anyone who believes that the Word of God is the Bible today. If you stand for principle, people will say you're a bigot. If you don't teach both sides of everything, if you say this sex sin is wrong, this sexual sin is a perversion, then people will call you they're liable to call you anything. But they're going to call you nasty words and tell you that you're wrong and you're not being fair and you're not giving both sides of the argument. You know what I'm talking about. As long as it's rejection of biblical authority, rejection of the absolutes of the Bible, that's what's going on today. And so this is when the Bible says our primary line of defense, my people are rejected, are destroyed by lack of knowledge. When we cease to know what the Bible says, when we cease to believe what the Bible says, when we cease to teach what the Bible says, then I can assure you we're not only in danger from the socialistic communistic system that hates us or from radical Islam that hates us, but we are now in danger from God Himself who has blessed us. See, when we start forgetting about the giver and we start looking at the gifts and we start getting too big for our britches and we think that we're so high and mighty and great, then we are ready to be cut down and humbled by God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What does that mean? Well, it means that 2 Peter 3:18 has not been fulfilled. What does that mean? Grow in the grace and the knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's a mandate right there to grow spiritually. So when the Bible says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, that means there's no spiritual growth. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, if there's no growth, it's obvious there's no study. No one is reading, no one is researching, no one is studying the Bible, trying to learn what the Bible says. What are the answers that I need to know are found in the word of God? And then in Hebrews 5:11 through 16, the Bible says you've been a Christian a long time now, and you ought to be teaching others. But instead, you've dropped back to where someone needs to come back to you and teach you the very first basic principles, and you become like a baby that needs a bottle and cannot handle strong meat because it is for adults. That's a summary of what that passage says. So what am I telling you? The first words of verse 6, Hosea 4, my people. As goes the spiritual life of the Christian in America, so goes the future of America. As goes the spiritual life of the Christian in America, so goes the future of America. Now, let's take a look at something. Let's try to gauge how the spiritual life of the Christian in America has been going. Okay? Let's see if we can do this. Let's put a chart up here. Let's do it, like old Glenn Beck does it, see? Let's put a chart up here. And let's draw an up graph, and that would show that we are prospering. And then we'll draw a down graph, and that will show that we are failing. And then if you put four things on the board, if you put politics, economics, social, and political values, and let's chart this. And let's assume if there's an up graph, then God is blessing our nation. And if there's a down graph, then God is cursing our nation. So politically, let's start there. Politically, what would you say? Would you say that we have great men of God, men of influence in political situations, men of integrity, men of honor, men of virtue in politics? Or would you say it's more of a partisan type driven and based political system today? I mean, it's up to you. I mean, you can make your own decision about this. Are we in an uptrend or are we in a downtrend? Are the paths of the politicians today going to lead us down the my way highway, or are they going to lead us in the path of God? And then if we take economics, are we being economically prospered today? Well, you can look at the Wall Street and you can see what stocks are doing and you can say yes. And you can see what gold is doing and you've got gold in your pocket and you can say, well, yes. Let me explain something to you. When I grew up, which was a while ago, you could buy a brand new, beautiful, lavish home. $35,000 would get you the best home in town. Today, $350,000 would put you in the medium income bracket. I mean, $6,000 when I was a kid would have bought you the finest automobile made. Today, $6,000 won't even get you a used car. So you can see that financially and economically, we're off the charts. Where is this going to end? When I grew up, gas was like, 26 cents a gallon when I was in high school? And now it's $2.90 a gallon? But where's it going to end? Are your kids going to be able to afford to buy gas? Are your grandchildren going to be able to afford to own a home? They're going to have to pay, $600,000 just to have a medium income home? What are they going to have to pay to buy just a normal medium car? Is it going to cost them $50,000? I mean, what are they going to have to pay in taxes? I mean, economically, are we in trouble? I mean, is there a limit to how much higher and higher this bubble can go? Oh, I think there is a limit. And I think the bubble could burst. And I think it could burst in this generation if our young people don't wake up. So politically, up or down. Economically, up or down. Socially, socially, we don't have many social problems, do we? I mean, we don't have problems with immigration, do we? We don't have racial problems, do we? Well, sure we do. We have tremendous social problems today. I mean, don't we have kids running into school and killing other kids? Don't we have people walking into the workplace and shooting people, and people walking into the mall and shooting people, and people shooting people and killing people and hating people? Well, sure, sure. So socially, we're at a crossroads in history. Politically, socially, spiritually, what about that? What about the spiritual issue? Are we on track spiritually? Are we growing spiritually? I mean, just because our churches are getting bigger, does that mean that people are growing deeper in their spiritual knowledge of God? Or have a lot of our churches substituted ritual for reality? Have they become mainstream media centers for drama and theater production and very little time for teaching the Word of God? What's going on today? Has that shift changed? Is there more of a desire to sing in church and to perform in church and to entertain? And do they charge you now to go to church to see this and see that? Do you have to pay money to get in to see certain things? Does it actually cost more money today to belong to some denominations than it does to belong to the finest country club? I think the answer to that is obvious. So here we are politically, economically, socially, spiritually. We're in a jam. So are we on an up chart or are we on a down chart? Which way are we going? You know, remorse. You ever heard that word before? Remorse. It's guilt. It's regret. It's when a person feels remorse, they feel bad about what they've done. I think our society today has become remorseless, without compassion. Having no pity and having no compassion. I think that's what's going on in America today. And let's take a look at it in the lives of young people, because that seems to be the area that I'm pretty aware of. I've spent the majority of the last 40 years speaking to teenagers, traveling all across the southeastern United States and the middle western part of the country, speaking in schools and speaking to students. So I guess if anyone should know, it should be me, shouldn't it? I mean, I've spent a lifetime doing it. What is it that causes young people to appear to have no remorse? Why is it, or how is it, that a middle school student could murder other students and not even feel bad about it? What's going on? I mean, student murders at school in Columbine, where kids were killed. Virginia Tech murders on campus where over 30 were killed. Gee whiz, I could go on. January 1979, Brenda Spencer, then 17 years old, got a rifle and shot into her elementary school, killing 8 other students. In March of 1987, Nathan Ferris, 12 years old, an honor student, killed himself and a classmate during school. On February the 21st, 96, a young student named Barry Lukaitis, dressed like a gunslinger, went to school with 2 pistols and a high-powered rifle and shot and killed 3. October of 1997, Luke Woodham, 16 years old, went into a rage and sliced and stabbed and killed his mother, killed his former girlfriend, and shot 7 other students at school just outside of Jackson, Mississippi. 24 March 1998, Andrew Golden, Mitchell Johnson, dressed in camo, gunned down 15 students at Westside Middle School in Jonesboro, Arkansas. And the list goes on. Teens murdering other teens, teens stealing, teenage violence, gang fighting. Well, what's caused all this? didn't used to be this way. Why are all these things happening today? Could it be that that freedom from religion, getting rid of the Word of God in schools and making sure that students don't hear any absolutes out of the Bible, could that have had any impact upon them at all? I mean, recently I read about an inner city school where someone spoke and they actually gave a come forward invitation. And it was for young boys, young men, and hundreds went forward and asked God to change their lives and deliver them from a life of sin. Is that such a bad thing? We shouldn't do that? Did we infringe upon the rights of the one or two atheists that might have gone to that school that we actually talked about God and Jesus Christ in the public arena? I tell you what, we're in serious trouble today. Our young people are in serious trouble today. There's no doubt that the Lord Jesus Christ created this earth. There's no doubt that He created everything in it. I mean, we celebrate Earth Day, but we cannot celebrate His birthday. What's with that? I mean, He created this world by His spoken word. John 1:3 says it. And God the Father invested in God the Son complete authority to carry out the complete plan until this world is over. Colossians 1:16-17. And then in the end of human history, we know from 1 Corinthians 15:24-28 that He will eventually turn rulership back over to the Father. We know that. It's all recorded in the Bible for us. So how do you shut down the Christian marriage message in America? How do you stop young people from hearing it? Well, you make the gospel offensive to other faiths. You make the gospel second rate. And since we've quit giving out truth from God's word in the public arena, just take a look at what's going on. Take a look at the social ills, the gangs and the murders and the drug abuse and teen pregnancy. Take a look at the attack on the family and the marriage, and take a look in the political arena. Take a look at the attack on the right and the attempt to smear them and then make them look dumb and uneducated. Change is coming. You can bet it is. You can see it every day. And this is not a show about politics. But look at the agenda-driven movement of the Progressive Party and what's happening today. Our country is radically split. We have economic woes, banks failing, housing being foreclosed, industry shutting down. We have a spiritual sham going on in America today. There's a substitute of ritual with no reality. There's no hunger for truth. I mean, the only thing people are thinking about, and I'm not saying everybody, but a good many of people that go to church are thinking about, what time do we get out of here? So, are we in trouble? Oh, you can bet we are in big trouble. I promise you that the America you know is going down the tubes. The America you grew up in is gone. And what these young people will face in the future is very frightening. You need to listen to what I'm about to read to you from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4. This is Paul's words, Paul the Apostle, who wrote basically half of the New Testament. Listen carefully. Ephesians 4:17, this I say therefore, and I testify from the Lord, or in the Lord. That's a prepositional phrase. It means that the source of what he's about to tell you comes from God, not from himself, from God. That you do not walk as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Now Paul writes this to the church at Ephesus. And let's get this word walk squared away. Don't walk like the Gentiles walk. Does that mean to mimic the way they hobble and limp down the sidewalk? The answer is no. The word walk is the Greek word peripateo. Peripateo. That means to live a lifestyle of the Gentiles and how the Gentiles are living their lifestyle. So how exactly are they living their lifestyle? Well, listen to the verse. Don't live your life like the Gentiles live their life in the vanity of their mind. Well, what does that mean? They have vanity in their mind. The answer is found in the word vanity. The Greek word for vanity is metiotes. Metiotes. And you say, why do you tell me these Greek words? because it doesn't mean vanity. That's why. It's not what metiotes means. It means a void or a vacuum or an emptiness. And so what Paul is saying here is the Gentiles have an emptiness of thought. They do not have correct thought in their mind. This is what I've been telling you for the last couple of weeks. The attack in America today is to get you to quit thinking in terms of divine standards, to quit thinking in terms of divine establishment procedure, to quit thinking in terms of divine viewpoint, but to think human viewpoint or satanic propaganda. And so as you go through your life every day, the one thing that is going to be attacked is what you think. And you're going to be assaulted with human viewpoint and the thinking of the world so that you will turn away from God and you will begin to look to yourself. That's called arrogance. And that's why the Bible says in Romans 12, verse 3, stop thinking of yourself in terms of arrogance, but think in terms of humility, as God has assigned to each one of us a standard of thinking from his word. So when Paul says, quit thinking like the Gentiles think, there's nothing of God in their mind. They don't have any divine viewpoint. They're operating on human viewpoint. They're operating on doctrine of demons. I mean, they go down to the phallic temple and they worship Aphrodite and they're involved in all sorts of immoral things that go on at that temple. And Paul goes on to tell the results of this. If you have no biblical standards in your mind, if you don't know the Word of God, and keep in mind here, this is what Satan's trying to do in America today, to stop any future generation of young people from coming to understand the standards of the Word of God, or the demands of the Word of God, or the truth of the Word of God. Listen, if you can stop that, if you can stop the future generations of Americans from hearing the truth, if you can distort it in their churches, if you can stop it in the public arena, then you got them. Then it's easy to control the population in the future. And so Paul says, don't live like these Gentiles live in that emptiness of their mind. Because, in verse 18, their understanding is darkened. The word for darkened is a word called skotizo. And it means they're blacked out. They're groping in a dark room with no light. They don't know what they're doing. Read on, verse 18, Ephesians chapter 4. Having their understanding darkened, they are now alienated from the life of God. Alienated from the life of God. That means separated from God's plan for them. Through the ignorance that is in them. Ignorance. What does that mean? They have no knowledge of God's plan. Now, I don't know if you heard me on the last show, but I told you, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. I talked about national discipline on a nation because of lack of knowledge of the Word of God and failure to fulfill the plan of God. And so here we have an ignorance that has come into the mind of the Gentiles. There's an emptiness. They haven't heard the Word of God taught. They don't have any clear norms and standards. They don't have any divine values in their life. Why not? Listen again. Having their understanding darkened, feeling alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. And there's a terrible translation. It is not blindness. That is not the word. The Greek word porosis, P-O-R-O-S-I-S. Porosis is a word for hardness or callousness. And so what you have is a calloused or a hard heart where there is no divine viewpoint thinking. A calloused or a hard heart where there is no divine viewpoint thinking. So if you can take away divine viewpoint from the future generation of America, if you can make sure that our young people don't hear the Word of God, aren't confronted with the claims of the Word of God, and given the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you can make sure that their conscience is infiltrated with doctrine of demons and human viewpoint thinking, then you can bring them to verse 19. Who being past feeling? No guilt, no remorse. Who being past feelings? No shame, no conviction. Who being past feelings have given themselves? That means they've surrendered themselves. They became a slave to what? Given themselves to lasciviousness, that sin, to work all lasciviousness with greed. Cannot get enough of it. And then Paul goes on to say, you did not learn this from Christ. Well, there you go. Does this tell you why future generations of Americans, young people that you and I have today, your children, my grandchildren, your grandchildren, does this tell you why they don't think like you think anymore? Because you, number one, you haven't taught them the Word of God. In your own arrogance, you don't even believe it yourself. I mean, look at the way you live. If you believed it and lived it, would it be some sort of conviction to them that maybe they're doing something wrong just by seeing the way you live? But if you don't believe it, if you don't live it, I mean, if you go to church and you leave church and you may have heard what the preacher says, but you go out and do whatever you want to, and then you show back up at church next Sunday with a big smile on your face and you put a few bucks in the offering plate and you think that's going to assuage your guilt complex and that's going to make God like you because you popped $100 in there. And your kids see this, your grandkids see this. They hear you malign other people. They hear you critique the pastor. They see what you do. They watch what you say. No wonder they don't believe the Bible because they don't think you do. No wonder they don't think the Bible is relevant to their life because they don't think you do. It starts with watching you. If there's no divine viewpoint thinking in your mind, how can you give them a spiritual transfusion? How can you give them divine viewpoint thinking in their mind? I mean, when you sit down to eat with your children and your grandchildren, do you say prayer? Do you say grace? Do you thank God for the food? Do you open the Bible and read a scripture and put a little bit of scripture in their mind? Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. This is called scar tissue. The future generation of America's young people are loaded down with scar tissue. They have put round pegs in square holes. Their thinking is scarred up. They no longer are able to determine what is right and what is wrong. They are no longer able to determine what they should and shouldn't do because their mind is blacked out. Their understanding is scotizo, darkened. They are separated from the plan of God because of ignorance, because no one has taught it to them. No one has told it to them. And Satan is standing on the sideline like an opposing coach and clapping and yelling and cheering and laughing at you as you lose the war for the mind of your young people. Please, can we wake up? Can we see what's going on? Remember what the Bible said, if my people that are called by my name will what? Humble themselves. It starts off by saying, God, I failed. And if they will turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear their prayer and then I'll heal their land. It starts with you and I saying, we failed, God. We've been so concerned with the gifts, we haven't paid any attention to the giver. We've been ourselves on that my way highway. We've ignored our children. And now they are about to lose everything that our forefathers fought and died for. Please think about this. Please consider it, because this comes from God. Until next week, this is Rick Hughes saying thank you for listening to The Floodline.
Thank you for listening to The Floodline with your host, Rick Hughes. If you'd like to contact Rick, please write to him at P.O. Box 100, Cropwell, Alabama, 35054, or on the Internet at www.bigrick.org.